Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the LEGIONPODCAST. I am Murray, and this week I am the chief officer of Dunkel. Dogs underfoot, noisy, chewing, licking everything.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I'm up at the lake with our two dogs, and my sister was visiting with her two dogs.
Ah.
And when there's two people and four dogs, it's fine. There's lots of tag team. But then my sister had to go away for a day, so I got to be the doggy uncle, and I have got four dogs of so many different sizes and temperaments.
At least four.
Yeah. And walking four dogs is like planning an invasion. You got to figure out which dog am I leashing first? Who's going on the harness around my waist? Who's going to be in my left arm? Who's in my right arm? And can we make it from the backyard to the front yard without getting tangled up in all the carport beams
and
picnic tables? No. It was insane. Insane. But eventually I got my dog walking shtick down. They all walked. They actually walked amazing. The little one was like out front setting the pace. The old one was at the back guarding us. It was all perfect.
Oh, wow.
They walked well. It was just getting from the backyard to the front yard that was like the obstacle course.
Yeah, I have two. I understand. I know what it's like. Well, you have two. Yeah. Well,
two. Yeah, two is...
Two is difficult enough.
Looks so much, yeah, but now it looks way easier. Way easier. But now that we're back in the cottage, they are navigating and negotiating who's going to sleep where and who's got their all the doggy jealousies are coming out. But
that's always fun.
Yeah. But it'll all be fine. It will all be fine. Nothing that peanut butter and treats cannot solve.
Yep. That's true.
Yep, you got enough peanut butter in the injector and you're all good to go. We have like one of those giant plunger things. And we just load it up. It's like a syringe, a giant syringe with a really thick nozzle. And then we just fill it with peanut butter and squirt, 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 squirt. Inject peanut butter into their mouths almost nonstop.
Oh, wow.
They love it.
Yeah. I heard dogs like kind of like peanut butter.
They do. Sit quietly. Squirt, squirt, squirt. Oh, look at you. You're sitting so quiet. Squirt, squirt, squirt. Yeah. It's all good. All good. Peanut butter is God's gift to dog uncles. Yeah. So that's me. I am the Dunkel.
Covered in dogs.
Covered in dogs. So many dogs.
Oh, boy. Yep. And okay. And Paul is away this week.
Yeah.
He is trying to capture one of his relatives.
Totally.
I'm not sure which one, but one of them.
Yeah, we'll pick one.
Whichever one he thinks is evil.
That's right. Follow that one.
Yeah.
Get on that one.
And while he's doing that, I am Al. And this week, I was late. Looking around, trying everything. Because about 24 minutes ago, I went, oh, crap. I don't have an acronym. And I couldn't think of anything.
Well, look at you.
Couldn't think of anything good. So I'm late.
That totally works. That totally, totally works. Yes. Yes. Awesome.
Plus, well, this week I used crap before, so I was like, damn it.
Yeah, you know, I can't use that one again. I'll go. Well, you figured it out. You totally figured it out. Good on you. Good on you. All righty. Well, this week we're doing a double feature.
Yeah.
It's almost like we're having a second feature. We're not going to say a backup, but
no, we would never call it a backup.
Definitely a double feature.
Well, especially since if continuity-wise, we'd be doing the shorter one first.
Totally. So we are traveling. Well, we're still hanging out in 1993, but we're sliding over to a different issue for a moment or two.
Wait, no, we're not in 1993. We're in 2010.
Oh, yeah. So the 90, is that the 93 or 43 on the cover?
43.
Yes. It's because just that was stylized. The triangle number. Yeah. Never mind.
Oh, don't I listen see what happens. Me.
Yeah. So 2010 is where we are, which is where we always were. But we're just sliding over to a different comic for a moment.
Although we're going back a little bit. You are right in that. We are going back because the main issue we're doing was cover dated September of 2010. This one is cover dated July. So you were right. We are going back a bit.
We are going back a bit.
Mm-hmm. See, you were right.
Without even knowing it. Without even planning it. Yeah. We're looking at Adventure Comics number 11.
Or 514, if you want to play that number game.
That's right. That fancy that fancy number game. Yes. Yes.
Or Superman Triangle number 43 from 2010.
I know. They've got all the numbers. All the numbers you could possibly want are on this cover. Absolutely all. More. Totally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This was during the time, I'm trying to remember, trying to put my little hat on, my DC hat.
This was one of the ending parts of Last Stand of New Krypton. That whole New Krypton story where Krypton came back and Superman was out of his regular books.
Yes. And Mon-El was taken over the role of Superman. I think this was the time when Mon-El was Superman.
Yeah, because if you look on the cover, you can see he has a little Superman S.
Yes.
On there.
Yes, he does. Oh.
Somebody heard something. Random instructions from the dog satellite. Bark now.
Totally. There's a dog outside somewhere.
Dog, squirrel, leaf, breeze, bug. Could be any of those.
Oh, all the peanut butter. All the peanut butter. Yeah. There we go. Quiet descends once more for a moment.
Just a moment.
Go on. Back upstairs. Go on. Back upstairs. Come on. Do. All righty. I think we're good. Alrighty, so we got this beautiful cover by Bernard Chang.
Oh, which is the one you're looking at? Did he do the variant one with like the different panels?
Oh, I have got the one where Mon-El looks like a statue.
Oh, did they? Because what I have says Mark Buckingham.
Oh, maybe it is Mark Buckingham. Oh, it is. It's a little bee with a crown. Yes, of course. That's Mark Buckingham. Yeah. That's Sorry. Who it is. Never mind.
Not trying to be corrective guy, but.
But it's true. It is Mark Buckingham. Yes, not Bernard Chang. Although Bernard Chang does something in this book, I think.
You're right, though. Bernard Chang is the penciler for the second story, the Legion story.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, which we won't actually have to look at. So there we go.
Nothing to do with us.
No. Someone else will take a look at that issue at some point 5 or 6 years down the line.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Sure.
Or totally. Totally. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So this is in the era when DC was doing backup stories. Well,
no. Second features.
Second features.
I don't see any backup story.
There's no backup story here. That's right.
Blasphemy.
I know. Yes. Although in this case, the second feature, I think, was the main feature. Yeah, yeah. Like the first story, the main story. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. They say the second feature is the Legion of Superheroes, but the whole book really is the Legion of Superheroes. Really.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, they're everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know why they're... The only reason they had listed as different stories is because somebody else is writing and drawing each story. But, I mean,
It's really just a Legion book.
Yeah.
For this particular issue. Yeah. Yes. And this is the series that started... with Connor Kent, is that right? Is that this run of Adventure Comics? And then
it kind of morphed because, like, issues 4 and 5, I think, are the ones that are like the Blackest Night crossover, right? And those are the those actually are Superboy Prime,
right?
And then it kind of goes into the new Krypton stuff,
right? Oof, this was a run that was all over the place.
Yeah.
Although, like, the Connor Kent stories were great.
Oh, yeah.
And the backup features, the second features, the Legion stories, were really good, too.
Yeah, they just didn't end up going anywhere.
No, they did not go anywhere. But they set the stage for some potentially really cool spots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lightning Lord having her twin.
Yes.
Things like that. Yes. But, yeah, no. They're kind of like the... Death of the New Gods to Final Crisis.
Yes.
Countdown to, you know, to actual Final Crisis. Like, they were supposed to be, you know, they kind of had nothing to do with the thing that they were leading up to.
I know, yeah. Like, Geoff Johns was setting up all this stuff, and then they handed the book over to Levitz, and Levitz was like, thank you, but I'll do my own thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. So that's fair enough. Totally. He was allowed to do that.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of funny.
Yes. Yeah. All righty. So we got this cover by, not Bernard Chang.
Mark Buckingham.
We got Mark Buckingham on the cover.
Who I liked a lot on Fables, and especially when he did a run on Spider-Man.
Oh, I bet he'd do a great Spider-Man.
Oh, it was a good run on Spider-Man. Paul Jenkins was writing it.
Oh.
They did some really cool different Spider-Man stories.
I bet. His art style would be great for Spidey. Like, he's got that real kinetic sort of look to his figures.
Yeah, I remember enjoying those a lot.
Yeah, I bet. Uh-huh. So he's our cover artist. We've got the Legion all kind of hanging out, watching.
Yeah, these were all the Legionnaires who were hiding back in the 21st century at the time.
Yes, yeah.
To help out Mon-El.
Yeah,
or Connor, because at the time, wasn't it like Element Lab was undercover in Smallville as his chemistry teacher?
Yes.
And Telus was like living in a swamp outside of Smallville.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, we got Starman, who was part of the JSA, and Quizlet, Sensor Girl, Matter Eater Lad, who ran a deli.
Yes.
And Chameleon Boy.
Yes, who could have been anyone, who was anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to revisit those stories because it's been a long... I mean, I think I read them when I came out and then I haven't read them since, so...
Oh, I did read them all, but I do want to reread them again. Plus, this was the part... This was also the Sterling Gates run of Supergirl.
Yes, which was a good run. Yeah, it was good. It was good. Alrighty. Yeah, totally. So, we are checking in on the Legion. We're in the 21st century, and basically the Legion has gone back in time to follow the terms follow the terms of R.J. Brand's will. R.J. Brand, spoiler, he passes away at some point.
Yeah, Legion of Three Worlds.
Yes. So they're looking after his will, and they've come back in time, and Cam is taking the lead on this one, and he's got one of the bottle cities of Kandor in his possession, I think.
Well, yeah, it's one of the other bottle cities that Brainiac had taken.
Yes, Yeah. Sorry, I say bottle City of Candor, but that's not true.
That's kind of instinctual. You say a bottle, if you're a comic person who's read Superman, you hear Bottle City, you go, of Candor.
Of Candor, that's right. This is just another Bottle City from, Brainiac.
Yeah, and they're calling it New Durla, so.
Yes, so this is, of course, important to him. So he opens up the bottle, releases the contents, and all the New Durlans pop out and have a world of their own now to inhabit. Yes.
Yeah.
And Cam wants to have a little discussion with them or a little chat, and Sensor Girl is like, nope, we are not allowed to talk to anyone. We're not influencing anyone 1,000 years before we're born. Who knows what that'll do?
You cannot tell them that if this one of the kids in 1,000 years accidentally sets fire to the living room rug, to go easy on him. No.
Yeah. No. Not allowed. None of that. Not allowed at all. All Cam gets out is the word Legion, which, you know, one of the other Durlans picks up on that word, even though nothing else is registering in his head because different languages and stuff. But
yeah, and this Durlan is Quelltop Daggle.
Mm-hmm. So Reap is talking to his great, 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 great ancestor.
Yep.
So they open the bottle, they release Durla, and then they go on and they do the same thing to all the other little bottles that they have collected. Do they do that? They do that in this story. We have like a little interlude in between, don't we?
Yeah, but
maybe they do that. Oh, maybe they're doing that in the next.
Maybe it's in the next story, but they mentioned it here.
Story, yeah.
In this story, they mention, yes. He says, allowing worlds like Rimbor, Isk, Amisk, Titan, and New Durla have a chance to live. So this is kind of them doing the post, I guess you could say, Infinite Crisis version of the Valor story.
Seeding of the worlds, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. They have to make sure that their worlds are inhabited so that they can, you know, exist. So the Legion is going to go off and do that, and they'll do that in the co-feature coming up in just 5 or 6 pages.
Which we will not be cut, or 5 or 6 years if you want to hear it, because we're not
totally doing that. Yeah, you just hang in there. In the meantime, we check in on Brainiac 5 and Brainiac the Original. And Original Brainy. Original Brainiac 5, or Original Brainiac, has been captured and immobilized in Brainiac 5's little rocket ship there. He's got Brainiac trapped. And this story that we are looking at is written by Sterling Gates. Travis Moore is the penciler, which... he does great stuff. I didn't realize he was around DC at this point in the,
he does a good burn. I like the story.
Yeah. What else? Oh, you know what? He did a run on Freedom Fighters, I think. And he pops up.
Yeah, JSA All-Stars, Freedom Fighters. Yeah, you're right, Freedom Fighters.
Mm-hmm. Right before it was flashpointed right before it was flashpointed out of existence. He was on the book. Anyway, he does good stuff. Yeah. So it's Sterling Gates, Travis Moore, and then all the rest. Brainiac is kind of staring at Brainiac 5, and Brainiac 5 is like, yeah, I know you're awake. Let's talk. And Brainiac says, what would you like to talk about, Brainiac 5? And Brainy says, so you know who I am? I heard what the Kryptonian girl called you as you tore through my ship, which happened in Supergirl number 52. You are my descendant from 1,000 years in the future. I'm so curious to know what knowledge is inside your head. And Brainy says, well, it's a shame for you that mind lock I installed in this chamber keeps you from even thinking at me too hard. I've studied you. Without your ship, you're weak. You're helpless. You're going back to Kalu, where they'll put you in a thought cell. So black, you'll never think again. But before we get there, you're going to satisfy my curiosity. And Brainiac just kind of grins and says, you assume we're actually going to get to Kalu? And there's a little vadeet, and the mind lock is disabled, and Brainiac comes jumping out at Brainy 5. You and your friends took my bottles and destroyed my ship. For that, I should kill you. And he grabs Brainy, and he starts choking him, pushing him up against the wall. Instead, I will reach into your mind and pluck out your knowledge of the future. You will be of great value to me, Brainiac 5, my most useful acquisition yet. Brainy's trying to fight him off. You know, for someone called Brainiac, I figured you'd be more intelligent. And he clicks the button on his force field belt button. And that, of course, puts a little force field in between the two of them. I've spent my life trying to make up for the damage you did to the universe, trying to make Brainiac a name to be proud of. No intelligent descendant would be so stupid as to challenge my physical abilities. You are an inferior product of the line, says Brainiac as he punches Brainy. And the little computer screen says, teleportation detected, subject en route. So we're getting a little preview that something's happening in the background. And Brainiac grabs Brainiac 5's... I was going to say his arm, but no, he's got like a laser scalpel or something pointed at Brainy's chest, maybe.
Yeah, I think he just grips on the electrical from the wall.
Maybe. Yeah. If and only if you willingly give in and tell me the secrets of the time stream, then I will allow you to live. And Brainiac 5 says, you want to know the secret to everything? It's all in the timing. And then he says, now! And Brainiac gets electrocuted, and someone off-screen says, there's nothing more satisfying than hearing the scream of someone being outsmarted by the cavalry. And that, of course, is Brainiac 2, Vril Dox, who has just popped in. He's the leader of Rebels. He's homeworld Kalu, abilities 10th level super intelligence, and he has just captured Daddy Brainiac. And Brainiac 5 says, glad to see you got my message, Vril. I'm a bit late. It took time to verify your claims. If I trusted everyone who claimed to be my descendant from the future, I'd barely have any time to myself. Want to explain why you're not collecting the Kaluan bounty on Daddy here yourself, Brainiac 5? Current Kaluan credits will mean nothing by my time. Think of it as my gift to the past. Fair enough. You get everything you needed from Daddy Doxist, then? No, says Brainy, but I got enough. Then our business together is at an end, says Vril. Good travels, Brainiac 5. My regards to the future, as he teleports away. And Brainy says, of course, I lied to Vril Dox. Kaluan credits are worth plenty in my time. I just didn't want to have to explain to the Kaluan authorities who I was. And he pulls up a time sphere, and he says, and no, it wasn't enough. We can never ask enough about our ancestors, can never know why they made the decisions they made. As Brainiac's hands slipped around my neck, though, I realized something. None of my questions mattered to my future. And he's setting some coordinates. All systems are green, and Brainiac 5 says, engage. Brainiac terrorized the past. We stopped him from killing Superman, stopped the destruction of the bottle cities. The combined efforts of the Legion and the Kryptonians saved countless lives. We can't control the mistakes our families made in the past, even those who travel through time. See that folly for what it is. All we can do is keep moving forward. And Brainy steps out of his little time sphere into the future, where he is greeted by all of the then current Legion of Superheroes as of 2010.
Yeah.
Which is no longer the three boot. We're back to the retro boot.
Yeah, it's post Legion of Three Worlds because we got Gates and Excess with them as well.
Yes. Yep.
They're and I'm wondering if that was a little thing he said about if I trusted everyone who claimed to be my descendant. Because
yeah,
in the beginning of the series, it was a different Brainiac 5 that was talking to him.
Oh yeah, it was Three Boot Brainy, and that was a very super important. He was implanted with Brainiac 3 or Brainiac 5 Three Boots, memories and knowledge of the Legion and all that stuff. And
so, like, make a blueprint.
Yep. And then then things shifted.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't stare at it too hard, folks. It'll all eventually fall into place.
At some point. Maybe. Totally. In our future.
Yes. So the important part of that story was that Brainiac has been captured by Brainiac 2, Vril Dox. And that leads us into the next issue of Rebels. Rebels 18.
Yep. But that was a fun little story.
It was. It was. And it, yeah, and it's a great little reminder of where DC was at and where the Legion was at that particular time when there was a Legion. You know, those days when we had a Legion. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember those days.
Yeah. Totally. Alrighty, I am going to let you take this one in case the doggos decide to go bananas again.
I was
going to
say I'll take this one since it's the first one anyway.
So, sure, sounds good.
Now we are doing Rebels number 18. On the cover, we by Kalman Andrusovsky, of course, we have Daddy Brainiac basically having in chokeholds both Vril Dox and Lyril, Brainiacs 2 and 3.
All the chokeholds.
And we see this one, it says on here, The Sons of Brainiac, Part 1.
That's a great title.
Yeah. So, and that's what it's actually called, Sons of Brainiac, Part 1, Brainchild. Tony Bedard, writer. Claude St. Alban, penciler. Scott Hanna, inker. Tanya Richard Horry, colorist. Travis Lanham, letterer. Sean Ryan, associate editor. Brian Cunningham, editor. And we start off with, well, Brainiac 2-3, Vril Dox, Homeworld Kolu, 12th level superintelligence. And he is speaking to, well, basically an artificial robotic son. It kind of looks like Solaris from the All-Star Superman series.
Yes, that's right. DC 1 million. That's right.
And as we remembered last time, it named itself Pulsar Stargrave.
Yes.
And I think it's supposed to be the leftover of the actual Computer of Tyrants of Kolu. So,
right.
From the old Legion series.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And Lyril saying, Pulsar Stargrave, I've told you my name, but do you know who I am? You are my father? Welcome to the most dysfunctional family in the galaxy. We are the sons of the House of Dox. Our roots trace back to the planet Kolu, a world of science and technology. Our people are among the most intelligent and long-lived in all the galaxy. They enjoyed peace and prosperity for nearly 9,000 years. And then came my grandfather. Vril Dox the Elder was born with a 12th level mind, far higher than the standard 8th level Kolu intellect. But this was not enough for him. When he surgically upgraded his mental activities to unknown levels, the Kolu press dubbed him Brainiac. He then began a clone of himself to facilitate data collection and assist in the construction of a starship. That clone is my father, Vril Dox II, scorned by the public as Brainiac 2. And while we have the monologue going on, we can see, you know, we get a little background. We see Kolu, we can see, you know, from space, we see Kolu a little further in, see people walking around. We can see the Koluans watching Brainiac experiment on himself, which is why he has all those little purple-shaped discs on his head. That was him upgrading himself. And then we can see young teenage Vril Dox helping his father build the famous Brainiac headship. Which, you know, I just realized if someone who didn't know comics just heard that, they would think it was something really inappropriate.
Headship. Yes.
Anyway, entendres aside, when Brainiac left Kolu to pursue his studies abroad, our people celebrated. They had come to see him as a freak, never anticipating the reign of terror he was embarking on. Soon, reports came in that Brainiac was destroying entire solar systems, a species-wide panic gripped Kolu. They could do nothing to stop Brainiac, but they could punish the sun he left behind, and we see them like a whole mob of them dragging Vril Dox away. With no death sentence in our culture, they placed Vril Dox in a thought cell to live out his days in a mindless coma. And those thought cells actually kind of look like, oh God, what is it? I forget what it was, but it was like from, it was a Kirby cover from like OMAC number 3.
Oh, yes.
Where it's like a person that comes like in a box, like to like assemble like a robot or something, and like.
Yes, I've read that issue too, and I cannot remember what they were. They were like, fake people in a box. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, if anyone wants to look up OMAC 3, that's exactly what it looks like here. It's really freaky. Anyway, no one knew why Brainiac spared Kolu, but they all feared he'd return and add them to his long list of victims. So they created an artificial intelligence network to suppress the rise of more deviants and to ensure public safety. And what do you know, this artificial network that they created also has that like same Brainiac symbol of the three purple circles connected by lines.
Yeah.
Probably a bad sign.
Yeah.
The AI carried out their mandate by mind-slaving the entire population. This malignant mechanical collective came to be known as the Computer Tyrants of Kolu. The tyrants calculated my father had more value as a political bargaining chip, and they handed him over to the Dominator Alliance. They were certain he would die in captivity, but father has a talent for beating the odds. And we're seeing a scene here from the Invasion series where Vrildox is in prison along with Strata and Stealth, and that's probably Garen Beck. I mean, the hair's not high enough, but he's looking pouty.
Yeah.
Very cranky, you know, pouty and bratty.
If it's pouty, it's got to be Beck. Yep.
He broke out of the Dominator prison, recruited a mercenary strike force, and returned to Kolu, liberating our people from their Silicon masters. And yep, we're seeing that scene, some of the scenes from the early Legion series where they were fighting the computer tyrants. You might expect that would have... Sorry, what?
Oh, yeah. No, we're getting these little flashback scenes. Yep, they're good.
You might expect that would have removed the stain of Brainiac from the House of Dox, but stop. Stop reciting history. Explain why my weapon systems cannot target you. So this whole time I was talking, you were trying to kill me? Cute. I programmed you to not hurt me. You are Solaris class macro processor unit. I imploded a neutron star to create you. You wield vast thermal, electromagnetic, and gravitational properties. Your fusion core supports unmatched computing capacity. And I am telling you about Kolu because you and I are about to take that world by force. And I want it to matter to you. Or else it won't be any fun. Oh, yeah, Literal's definitely going down the way of his grandfather, I think.
Yeah.
And then... Oh, come on. Ah, there we go. And then we actually go to Planet Kolu, which, according to the Antares Observer, exclusive interstellar criminal Brainiac delivered personally to local authorities by Kaluan expatriate and LEGION founder Vrildox II. And yeah, Vril's there on Kolu. Let me be perfectly clear. I did not do this for monetary reward. I did this to clear the good name of Dox. Think of me not as the son of Brainiac, but as the man who brought this monster to justice. And we see him coming off his ship with Brainiac in chained up and a whole big thing on his head. So probably keeping him from thinking too hard again. And of course, then Brainiac puts it aside to one of the Kaluan authorities. Nevertheless, deposit the funds to my account within the hour, or else. You have not changed a bit. And reporters are all there, and one of them saying, Vril, how'd you capture Brainiac when it's widely reported you're only a 10th level intellect and he's at least a 12? It's a law of nature. Good guys always win.
He's become like a little media
superstar.
He knows how to work the system.
He does. It's great. Is bounty hunting a new line of work for you? No, I remain commander of Legion. I once had a bounty hunter on my team, but I'm no hurry to repeat that experience. Is it true that Kolu refuses to sign on as a Legion client world? That is their prerogative, though the door remains open. What about the rumors linking you and Queen Commander of Tamaran? Is a romance blooming between you and Blackfire? Actually, I don't think she cares for that nickname. The Queen and her people have settled the southern continent of Ran. I'm still getting to know her. Our relationship is purely diplomatic. But she is a very striking woman. Any man will be lucky to win her favor. Oh yeah, he's damn good at this.
Absolutely.
This whole little media circus is being watched by the people back in the Legion headquarters or a Rebels core team. And we see we have Starfire, otherwise known as Coriander, Homeworld, Tamaran, Flight, Energy Projection, Strength. I am going to be sick. And CG, Homeworld, Durla, Shapeshifter. Obviously, he's playing to the cameras, trying to soften his public image. And we also have Wildstar, Homeworld, Dark Starhaven, Flight, Energy Projection, and Interstellar Tracking. Is everything Dox does meant to manipulate? And Bounder, Homeworld, Cairn, Human Wrecking Ball. Well, he tricked you into becoming pure energy, didn't he? I was a cripple when Dox found me. I was an outcast, and I doubted my own sanity. Vril Dox gave my life purpose. Mm. And she's interrupted by Amon Hack, Homeworld, Kundia, Interstellar Mercenary. Keep talking like that, and I'll doubt your sanity, too. And CG's just like, Hack. It's like he just like looks at her and goes, it's a fact, CG. Sooner or later, everyone who knows Dox hates Dox. And you, Durlan, have best keep your distance. You may wear the face of a child, but I know you could kill everyone in this room without breaking a sweat. That is, if shapeshifters sweat at all. And Starfire asks him, if you hate Dox, why not go home? I tried, but once you've been away long enough, it stops feeling like home. Something your friend Captain Comet must be realizing by now. What do you mean? He's visiting his homeworld first time in decades, so I'm told. And we go to Earth. And we see Captain Comet looks like he's talking to a flower, saying, I thought I'd never find you, Eddie. I mean, last time I visited, you were buried halfway across town. Who relocates a cemetery anyway? Nothing's like I remember. And we see he's in a cemetery talking to someone's grave. And it's it. We get a look closer and we see it's actually someone named Edna Blake, 1926 to 1961. I tried looking up old friends, all dead of old age. I'm sorry I didn't visit you already. I just wanted to tell you. I met someone. She's different. Really different, but there's a sadness about her that got me thinking about how alone I've been. Mm. And then all of a sudden, he's interrupted because his old wrist thing is going, beep, beep, incoming holocom. And it's Starfire. I apologize for the intrusion, Captain. It's okay, Corey. And you can call me Adam. Adam Blake. And Corey's little hologram looks over and sees it says, Edna Blake, and she asks, your wife? My sister. Died a few years after I left. It was 1955, and we see a little flashback of Captain Comet in his original outfit flying away from 1950s, you know, Americana. It was 1955. I already fought off a few alien invaders, so I figured I should go see what else might out there might pose a threat. At least that's what I told my family. Truth is, after the comet changed me, I stopped feeling like I belonged. You must be older than you look. It's a long story. Everything okay on Rand? Actually, I am in Aura right now. I would come down in person, but... I know. Earth isn't exactly your favorite place these days. Yes. Nevertheless, Amon Hack made me worry about you. Hack was worried about me? No, he was ridiculing you. And then he kept asking for a date. I took that as my cue to come check on you. So, maybe partial concern, partial wanting to get away from that guy.
Totally.
And we see, you know, Comet flying up. He's flying over what looks like New York, because it looks like the Verrazano Bridge to me. And he's flying up into space to meet her at the shuttle. Well, I'm glad you did. Coming back was a mistake. The city that I remember is gone. They tore down Yankee Stadium, for crying out loud. Tell me all about it on the trip back to Ron. And then we jump over to Kolu, and Brill is there, saying, who says you can't go home again? And he's speaking to a whole bunch of crowd of people with signs, Dox rocks, I'm with Legion. Something in Kolu in with a heart. So probably, Kolu loves Dox or something, who knows? And the Kaluan authorities are asking him, how much more of this do you require, Dox? We have duties to attend. Yes, fine, you joyless sporks. I'll be on my way now. Just as soon as I say goodbye to dear old dad. He will not hear you. He's already in his thought cell. And they're traveling over to the thought cell. Irrelevant. I do not require his participation to dance on Brainiac's grave. And he's even whistling as he walks over there. And they get to the cell and they're opening up. He's like, give me a moment alone with him. No physical contact. And he's in there talking to his father, who docks his chained to a chair with all these tubes sticking to all his little, you know, head, I don't know what they're called, little head sockets, I guess.
Yeah.
And he looks at his head's down like he's unconscious, and he's drooling. This must be your worst nightmare, that cavernous mind with nothing to fill it. I know gloating is beneath me, but I can't pass up the chance to say it. I win, old man. Despite hobbling me with a lower IQ, despite making me your slave, despite every obstacle you put in my way, you still lose. But then Brainiac actually speaks, which is definitely shocking to Rill. Do not flatter yourself. You were never significant enough to waste time impeding you. And Rill just grabs him by the face. I put you here, Father. I'd say that's significant enough. And I find it pathetic that you still crave my attention. And then there's a big thoom that knocks Vril over. You're doing? And Vril's like, no. And Kolu isn't seismically active, so what the spork was it? And we see it's Pulsar Stargrave blasting all kinds of things on Kolu. People of Kolu, look upon me in despair. People are running in terror, and he's shooting everything, and things are blowing up. It's a big mess. And then we jump back to 237 parsecs away as we see the Legion ship flying through space. And we hear that was earth-shaking. And we're inside, and we can see in zero gravity, it's a naked Caput Comet and a naked Starfire.
Yes. They are having naked time. So although Mary Jane Beck is nothing but a memory now.
I guess so. Although he is covered by a conveniently floating suit, and she is covered up by conveniently flowing huge hair.
Yeah.
And she says, yes, for me too. Nice touch, switching to artificial gravity. We must have bumped the kill switch when you grabbed my... Got it. And she asks him, does it embarrass you to speak of such things? I'm no prude, but deep down, I guess I'm still a child of the 1930s. Speaking of which, I didn't mean for this to happen so soon. I mean, I don't usually rush into this sort of thing. And she kicks him away, and you think I do? No. This is obviously pre-Flashpoint.
Yeah. Oh, right. Totally.
Because they kind of change that up a bit.
Yes, they do.
And you think I do? No, I only meant... And she's like, kidding, and she turns the gravity back on, and he falls down. This is a glorious way to spend a trip through hyperspace. But let us not blow it out of proportion, Adam. I believe the current parlance of friends with benefits. It is? And she tells him, you once asked me about the man who broke my heart, the reason I left Earth. Being with you helps ease that pain. And as they're getting dressed, they're talking, and he's like, sounds like you still love him. Of course I do. When I gave my heart to Dick Grayson, it was not alone. I have Tamaranian. My love is eternal. Which is probably not what Comet wanted to hear.
I would guess not.
Anyway, you go back to Kolu, and we see Lyril in his ship, and he's like, Stargrave, I do believe you're developing a sense of humor. What makes you say that? And he's still zarking thing blasts all over. And we see the authorities in Kolu. Why won't our weapons work? What manner of adversary is this? Surely Brainiac's doing. And then all of a sudden, their view screen comes on, and they see Lyril. He's like, yes, but not the one you think. I am Brainiac 3. You may call me Master. And back in Brainiac's cell, one of the guards runs in to talk to Docs. We're under attack. Somebody claiming he's Brainiac 3. And the original Brainiac says, no. No more Brainiacs. And he rips himself free from his bonds, and the guards blast him with a crack. But that doesn't matter. Brainiac grabs him by the face and says, I share nothing, not my knowledge, And we don't see exactly what he does to him, but we do see a sploot sound effect and green blood. Yeah. So I'm assuming it's not good.
No.
Yeah. But he says, I share nothing, not my knowledge, and certainly not my name, as he comes lumbering towards Vril. And next, yeah. The battle for Kulu.
He's got this real Hulk look to him, which is not what I normally associate with Brainiac, like the big hulking muscles and the lumbering and the...
Yeah, although they did list strength as one of his abilities, so...
I guess, yeah.
I guess that's the current Brainiac, who knows.
There we go. Brainiac versus Brainiac versus Brainiac.
Too bad Brainy 5 didn't stay.
I know, it could have been like a total family reunion.
Yeah.
Yes. Although, I don't know, maybe he shows up. Maybe he shows up in the next chapter or two or three. Maybe not, but...
Yeah, how many Brainiacs are there anyway?
I think we've met them all now.
I mean, there's Brainiac 2, 3, 5. I know there's a Brainiac 13.
Yep. Somewhere in the reboot run, there's a Brainiac 4, but I don't know that...
Oh, that's right. I think she appears briefly.
Yeah, I don't think she gets a lot of airtime. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's a cool new story. So something a little different now. We're done with this whole big...
Yes.
What's his name? Sorrow story.
He's old news now. We don't need to remember his name.
Although, I wonder if this is because he wants to make sure they get sales, because he's using some big name villains. I mean, Starro is still a decent name in DC.
Yes.
Maybe not the most popular one, but it's a name, and now we have Brainiac.
Yep. It's good though. I mean, it makes sense pulling Brainiac in when we never really, really got to see Brainiac and Vril interact all that much during the Legion days.
Yeah, just that one, the two annuals.
Yeah.
The Superman one and the Legion one.
Yeah. But even still, right. I feel like there was like untapped potential. So now we're tapping that potential and seeing where it takes us. Which
especially
is cool.
Since we have Lyril now, so.
Yes.
Adds more to it.
Absolutely. It's going to be a real family throwdown.
I mean, it's kind of sad when... At this point, Vril Dox is still the best of them.
I know. The best of... Yeah, that's saying something. That is saying something. All righty, folks. Well, that is it for this week. We will catch up with y'all next week when we look at The Sons of Brainiac Part 2. In the meantime, if you want to send us a note, you can do so at Legion of Substitute Podcasters at gmail.com, or you can hit us up on the Facebooks or the Twitter. We are there as well. There is the website, the Legion of Substitute Podcasters website, which is also available for commenting from time to time. Yeah, that's true. Okay, that's it. That's it for me. I will see you all next WEEK.
WIMWENBLIYE.
Oh, that's short and sweet.
Yeah, went a little different.
Short
this time.
And sweet. Cool. Now I'll look that up.